¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books. Still two to go on an FAF Friday on The Usual Suspects. F Funny, we got a comedian of the week. Barry told you a little bit about him in hour number one, but if you missed the clip, there's two more to come. That means at 2:15, 3:15, we will have clips. Barry.
Yes, John Stringer.
Tell everybody about John J. Stringer on Twitter.
John J. Stringer on Twitter. Great dude, funny guy, energetic. If you get a chance, he's at the Joke Joint this weekend, in fact. That's why I wanted to feature him. You should, if you have a chance, go check him out. I promise you this, above all else, when you leave, you're going to leave with a smile on your face and haven't had a good time. Because he's a funny dude and he's energetic. It's a good show. It really is.
I like people who have balls to do racial jokes.
Yep.
And he's that guy.
Yep.
He's that guy.
Fun. Well, I mean, you know, when he was coming up, he was big in San Antonio, Austin. But he was really popular in the Valley. In fact, he did a lot of shows and touring of Texas with Mario Salazar. Remember the guy that did the thing for the San Diego Chargers? The guy I told you all that was a comedian from Texas, and he announced their like 6th or 7th round draft pick.
Yeah, I remember that.
And he started, he's a comedian from Texas. John Stringer worked with him a lot. And then another guy named Raymond Orta, who amassed a huge following by making crazy Dallas Cowboy videos. And he would start yelling about the Cowboys, and they got really popular. And John would tour with those two guys. So you imagine a Raymond Orta and Mario Salazar, and then John Stringer. I mean, he kind of came up in a predominantly Hispanic environment as far as comedy.
Yeah,
goes.
he's
down in the Valley. So
I noticed that too, because I felt like when he was on that particular Netflix show that you were telling me to,
the Chingo Bling special.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you wanted me to plug it.
No, it's all good.
But
I might feature. We're gonna feature Chingo next week.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Cool. But yeah, when I heard him talk, you can tell he has a Mexican fan, or at least a Hispanic fan base.
Yeah.
Just from the way he's talking. Plus, I really do think it's more difficult for a white guy to do racial jokes.
Oh.
I think it's harder for them to get away with it than a minority or a black comedian. So,
dude, it's so funny that you say that.
Because it's just my opinion, my unexpert opinion.
No, it's 1,000% right. It's 1,000% right. And it's so funny you say that. And I may have told this story before on air. I don't remember. But I was thinking about it this morning because I'm racking my brain on which comedians can I feature for FAF Friday. Because Joel always reminds me when I open the doc, he'll always have who's the comedian of the week. And I'm like, damn it, I totally forget until Friday. So I'm racking my brain, like, who can I, and I'm looking at videos and I'm trying to find, and I'll be honest, I know a lot of comics don't listen to our show, but if you are a comic, man, have at least a good 5 minutes online. So if people want to promote you or look at you, they can. Because a lot of comics in this town that I know are decent comics, they have, whatever they have online is garbage.
Yeah, that's the problem. Sucks. They don't isolate the good stuff. If it's not doing well digitally, don't let it live.
Get rid of it. Yeah, I've taken it on a lot of videos from when I first started that I thought were great my first year in, and now 5+ years in, I'm like, that's bad. And I'll take those down. But I was thinking, and I'm like, no. And then this name popped in my head, and I'm not going to mention his name. I'm not going to say who it was. No, Joel, I'm not.
Say it. Come on, say it right now.
But when I first started, my first year in comedy, when your first year of doing anything, you're just learning, right? And I wrote this joke that was about there was an African guy for the British rowing team. And you can imagine where I went with that. Like, what? How did they get him to join? Like, did they promise him gold? And I would do this whole joke, kind of how was this similar to like getting him in the boat where he was like, I'm not doing that again. Like, right. So it was just a joke kind of mocking slavery and how that happened. And so I did this whole joke. Right. And this comedian comes up to me afterwards and goes, you can't do that joke. And there's a black comic. And he goes, you can't do that joke. And I was like, why? Is it not funny? He goes, no, it was very funny. It was hilarious. But you can't do that joke. I was like, but it's if it's funny, it's funny. Yeah. Funny's funny, right? He goes, nope, you can't do that joke. It's offensive when you do it. And I was like, that's really weird, but that scarred me. Like that.
Was he right?
No, because fast forward like 2 years, I was talking to Sam Damaris, a black comedian who we've featured on this show. Mm-hmm. And I asked him about it. He goes, man, bleep that dude.
I feel like there's a questionable line.
And I did the joke exactly like I did it on stage. I totally forgot it now, but I did it exactly like I did it. And he goes, Barry, the only reason you shouldn't have done that joke is because you were new and you didn't, you know, maybe your execution was poor. He goes, but that's a funny joke. And he gave me a tag for it. He goes, do the joke and then do this and say that. And he goes, no, that dude was, no, that's just not true. I mean, a funny joke is a funny joke.
Yeah, and here's what I'll say. I feel like some comedians don't do that because they know they can't deliver that joke, right? And I feel like certain comedians can. I've mentioned Anthony Jeselnik quite a bit.
Yep.
I just feel like he's a dude that can kind of, he's a white comedian that can kind of get away with doing those jokes. And a lot of times, even on this particular special that I ripped this audio clip from for Jon Springer, he did a black joke and he kind of got some blowback and he was like, no, he stood behind it. And he was like, no, what? I did a Mexican joke about 60 seconds ago. I can't do a joke about black people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think as a comedian, you kind of realize that there's a certain way, like, and I'll do this joke just because I think it's poignant to the conversation. So early in my set, I talk about how I used to be overweight. And I do a lot of fat jokes, if you want to call them that, right? But it's really more self-deprecating to me. Like I say, you know, when I first started my weight loss journey, everybody would ask me what my goal was. And I had read on the internet that for every 50 pounds you lose, you gain an inch down there. Mm-hmm. So my goal is I want to lose 1,050 pounds. That's my goal. I'm trying to, like, so I do all these jokes. And then at the end, I do this kind of one joke where I say, I knew I was fat. And you know you're fat when you go jogging through your neighborhood and people stop and clap for you, which actually happened to me. When I was like 225 pounds, I went jogging and this old lady, as I ran by, she started clapping. And I thought, my God, that's hilarious. So I wrote the bit. And whenever I do that joke, a few people in the crowd will pull back. And so I always follow. This is the way I end the whole bit because it's like 5 minutes of me doing fat jokes. And so I go, look, I get it. I'll explain to you how comedy works. Like, I have to tell you guys I used to be fat before I tell you those jokes because otherwise you're like, this guy's an a-hole just up there telling fat jokes. Anyway, so I used to be black. And I do that on stage, and it works. Like, you know, there are very few people that would be that get offended by that, and oftentimes it's white people that will not laugh at it. They'll look like they're looking around, like, "Is it okay if I laugh at this?" Yeah. Which I will also poke fun at. But yeah, there's a point. But if you'll have a Hispanic comic get on stage or a black comic, and if they get up there and make fun of another race, no one bats an eye. But yeah. it's the culture and the times that we live in, too. You have to be a little more sensitive.
Absolutely.
It's like when dudes get up and make jokes about women.
Yep.
You've got to be careful.
Yeah. Now with the Me Too movement and everything like that, it's a different time. Yeah. Well, things you may have been able to get away with in the past.
Right.
You got to be hypersensitive before you're going to get really a lot of blowback.
Yeah. And it's, you know, you'll see a lot of young comics. They want to be edgy. They want to do like racially charged jokes or misogynistic jokes. And there's a way to do that and do the joke without offending anyone. And you're going to offend people no matter what you do. In fact, I told you guys that about the joke I did about deaf people. I did a joke about a deaf guy. And this guy comes up to me and goes, man, you had me until you did that joke about deaf people. And that offended my wife. I was like, well, why didn't she come over and say something? He was like, oh, I don't know, but it was my, you know, we have a deaf daughter. I was like, but the joke isn't about deaf people. It was about the guy. And he was deaf. Like, so he was like, oh, I didn't really look at it that way. And then what's funny is I did the joke in Fort Worth and a deaf guy in the crowd came up and goes, that was my favorite joke. I found it absolutely hysterical. So it's all perspective. Like the people that weren't deaf were offended by the joke, but the deaf guy wasn't.
Huh.
It's crazy. So you really have to, like, young comics, they get tripped out. They they don't know how to approach that yet.
That's interesting. Can I ask without being an a-hole?
Sure.
How did the deaf guy hear the joke?
He had implants, like Marvin. You know, Marvin okay. Pearson, our guy in Philly, who is going to be the next up on my podcast on February 15th. Blind and deaf? What? Blind and deaf, but yeah, he had cochlear implants. And so I asked the guy, I was like, bro, how did you, I mean, if you don't mind me asking, I'm not trying to be funny, but do you read lips? He goes, no, I have implants, because he talked perfectly, just like Marvin does.
Really?
But he was like, yeah, that was like, it was like all of all the stuff you did, that was my favorite joke.
Technology's amazing.
Right.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it really is.
By the way, too, and I won't bog you guys down with this, because it's so taxing.
Is this a Packers thing?
No, Cliff Kingsbury. We've all talked about the fact Cliff Kingsbury, you know, big accomplishment. He gets the Cardinal job. His biggest accomplishment, he's dating Holly Saunders. Holly Saunders, who used to be on the Golf Channel, now she's on Fox. You don't even have to know her name. I've done you a favor. I've tweeted it. She just did a photo shoot getting ready for Super Bowl weekend. It's worth your time. I'm just going to let you know. At Pac-Man Joel has it for you. I just tweeted it.
At Pac-Man Joel with a K.
It's on my way. It's a nice spread, if you know what I mean.
Oh.
All right. We're going to continue to roll on. Hour number two, 3-hour show. It's The Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Where are my Mexicans at? Make some noise! There are a lot of you in here. I need to know where you motherfuckers are at all time. I accidentally brought my social security card with me. Love to leave with it. I'm learning Spanglish. I'm learning it as fast as I can. The first young Hispanic girl that walked up to me in Houston sounded like this. I know, right? Nah.
There's your man. He's funny.
Yeah.
See how he got away with that?
Yeah. Yep. At John J. Stringer on Twitter. He's legit, man. At the Joke Joint this weekend. Just go to JoeJointComedyShowcase.com if you want tickets. But check him out. Give him a follow on Twitter and hit him up. He's a great dude.
No doubt. He'll give you a chuckle. Hey, by the way, weather's a little better today. It's 64 degrees outside.
Nice.
But as we found out yesterday, the beer's always a frosty 29 degrees at Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks eats, drinks, and scenic views. And P. Randizzle enjoyed a monster beer yesterday.
Yeah. Not going to get slim doing that, Patrick.
And then I saw him on Twitter talking about having wine. That's not exactly the liquid
diet.
That's
how you go from 66 to 74.
Yeah,
isn't that right, Nick? That's how you go from 166 to 174.
Yeah.
Well, that's his Twitter handle's his weight. I was going to say you have to change your Twitter handle pretty soon.
Has he been changing it?
I don't know if he's. If
it's, I don't remember. It seems
I don't know
like
if it's fluctuating,
the same.
But it seems like it's I feel like he doesn't mind 270s.
279.2.
I think it's. I don't think he's changing.
I don't think he's updated it since the contest started. Patrick, get your stuff together and update it. Update your weight, bro. Come on, come on now. Okay. Who do you guys think the experts are picking in the Super Bowl? Who do you think? Well, the overwhelming majority of experts are
Patriots, probably.
Patriots,
yeah. And that's true. In fact, I saw this thing on Business Insider. 71 of 112 experts that they surveyed picked the Patriots. I mean, that still means 41 folks are picking the Rams, but that's an overwhelming majority.
That's a big number.
Do you think that it is strictly... Because when you look at them statistically, and we'll get into all the nerdy stuff in the third hour... But do you think this is strictly based off of reputation with Belichick and Brady, or do you think that it because the Patriots are the better team?
I think it's a lot to do with reputation. I think it's a lot to do with people that have learned their lesson betting and picking against the Patriots, whether you did it for money or not. And I think the bigger thing of all those things is what happened against the Falcons. The fact that when you look at a team that was getting punished and was way down and found a way to not only get back in the game, but come back and win a game on the biggest stage with all the pressure and all those things, it's hard to bet against them.
It's a really good point because it's almost where you like, oh, yeah, the Rams can go out and do all these things. Because remember, the Falcons in that game was a prolific offense. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like they're never really out of it.
Kyle Shanahan was running that offense, and they had the running game. They had the receivers. They had Matty Ice was an MVP.
Yeah.
And I thought about it. I thought about it, and my first instinct is to say, you know, you just got to credit the tandem, the Belichick-Brady tandem, and the fact that that's why most people are picking the Patriots. But I asked myself the question, had they won the same amount of Super Bowls with those teams but with different coaches, not Bill Belichick, not the rotation of coaches that were under him, do they still become the overwhelming favorite like in that particular article? Mm-hmm. And I tend to think, yeah, because I think winning does so much. I still would like to give Belichick and Brady most of the credit. I just think that's an unbelievable tandem. But if they were really winning those games without that tandem, with just Brady, maybe Brady gets all the credit. But I still think the Patriots would still be the overwhelming favorite as long as they won the way they have been in recent years.
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say the way it broke down was ESPN, 45 picks for the Patriots, 27 for the Rams, Sports Illustrated, 10 for the Patriots, 4 for the Rams, NFL.com, 11 Patriots, 9 Rams. So NFL.com had it a little closer, which you wonder if there's some politics going on there where they're like, well, we got to show them love too. And then USA Today, 5 Patriots, 1 pick for the Rams.
I would say this to what you were saying, Nick, because it is interesting based on the different outlets, who, you know, what the discrepancy was.
Yeah.
Because first of all, from an NFL network perspective, I see this discrepancy because ex-players know more than the general public about what goes on with the cheating stuff, the allegations. We talked about some of it on the show, mm-hmm. but the players are really in tune with that. And some of them are bitter about whether it was proven or not. A lot of players are still bitter about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. But I think overall, the one thing that I would say sets him apart from everybody else is you can say that there are pieces that are interchangeable and everything like that. But just what he did against Kansas City, if you give Brady the ball and say, if you score on this next drive, you win, he's proven no matter the conditions or who he's got as receivers, he will pick you apart. And the other thing is, I think that really would have changed people's minds if the Rams were the Rams of the first half of the season when they were rolling and looked invincible, and they had some more momentum going into the playoffs, people would say, you know what? But now, because they not only didn't have that, but they also have the call that's going against them in the New Orleans game, everybody's going, you shouldn't even be here.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
And maybe their defense looked a little bit more dominant in the first six games than they did in the second half or the latter part of the season, maybe. But, yeah.
Well, it's funny because on what's the show where Stephen A. Smith yells at people?
Get up.
Yeah.
No, sorry. First take.
Every show. What's the one where he yells at Max Kellerman? That's first take. Kellerman was trying to make the point about the Patriots, and he said, look, you can say that that's true about the Rams and the pass interference, but it's not like Brady and those guys didn't get some calls with the phantom roughing the passer and the offsides, and they got bailed out too. Otherwise, that might have been a different ballgame. I was like, well, it's still Tom Brady, but he does have some points. I mean, you can make the case for that, but there's a lot of games where you can make that case.
Yeah.
But I'm with you, too. I think a lot of people look at it and think, that should be the Saints. So I ask you this. Mm-hmm. If it should have been the Saints, do you think that the experts still overwhelmingly are picking the Patriots with Drew Brees?
Nope.
On the other side of that?
I feel like they are.
I don't. If it was the Saints inside in a dome and they were rolling, I
feel like the Rams are a worse matchup for the Patriots than the Saints. That's just me.
Well, I feel like that this is a reputation thing for the Patriots.
Right.
I mean, I agree with that. That I think a lot of the experts are understand when I say reputation, I'm not saying that it's not earned or deserved.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying when you look at them statistically that it's, you know, whatever. But I think a lot of these experts are picking them on reputation. So I think even with the Saints in, they would probably still go Patriots.
You know why I disagree with you, Nick? Because if you take the two scenarios and say Rams-Saints, who gives the Patriots more problems? The biggest discrepancy for me is both have two-headed monster running games. Both have good passing games. One has a Hall of Fame quarterback that's still doing it. One has a guy in his first Super Bowl, and you're like, Is he going to nut up and have a great Super Bowl, or is he going to panic? And I don't think Brees would panic, and I think that would make Belichick have to really take some other things into consideration.
The reputation of Drew Brees alone could help your case, right? Just because the fact that he's been there, he's considered one of the best quarterbacks of all time.
You've also got a well-established coach.
Absolutely. And Sean Payton.
Yep.
Now, one of the things I thought about this morning, and do we have time or do we need to – I don't want to bring up another time. We need to get to break? Okay. I want to talk about somebody, a name, not a player, but a coach that I think is flying under the radar that maybe people aren't getting enough credit for. So we'll talk about that. We'll have Mattress Mac next, and we'll talk Super Bowl with him. But when we get back at 2:45, I've got a coach.
Okay.
I won't say which side.
Yeah.
No one's mentioning him. But I think he might be probably, outside of the two head coaches, the most important coach on the field.
Fair enough. Okay. Look forward to that as well as Mattress Mac. He's coming up next. We're going to talk about Super Bowl and maybe when he used to have a circus tent for a showroom and wear a mattress and jump around on TV during wrestling and maybe even tip him off to some great comedy he might not be aware of that nice. He should be involved in. Mattress Mac next. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. The big show, it's The Usual Suspects on an F Yeah Friday. Right here on ESPN 97.5, F for furniture.
I see and what you things. Did.
See, and friend of the show, as we bring in my good friend, Mattress Mac. And Mac, always good to have you a part of the show. And we, you know, obviously we talk about you all the time on this show. But with this week in general coming up, Super Bowl week is always a big week. But I always like to have you on this week because you're always good about being a man of the people for here in Houston, Texas. But boy, you fire some people up and get some people interested in the big game even more with this deal you do about the Super Bowl Sunday.
That's right. It's a super promotion, Joel, at the Gallery Furniture right now. Come out today or tomorrow. Buy $5,000 better with furniture. Have it delivered before the big game on Sunday. And if the team from LA wins, you get 50% of your money back or 100% back in in-store credit. You'll be a huge winner at Gallery Furniture, and best of all, get great furniture in your home tonight. We got lots of new furniture here for this huge super promotion. Best time ever to buy.
Mac, do you ever get nervous when you do these? You're like, oh, do you find yourself rooting harder for the other team? I mean, I know you didn't do that with the Astros promotion, but do you find yourself maybe rooting for the team from Boston a little more?
It's called a hedge, you know.
You got to go with
the slight favorites. You can hedge it the other way. And then either team wins, it's great. Hopefully the team wins and the customer gets their money back on because it thrills the customers and creates lots of buzz.
Oh, it definitely has created the buzz. But I'm curious, too, on that same kind of wavelength, do you have people that are, like, checking with Vegas and the experts and going, because we were just talking about it on the air. I mean, this one, the experts are all going with the team from New England, but it seems like, you know, there's a kind of a question mark factor of which Rams team shows up, and if they are creative offensively, they could be a problem.
No, I think it's an absolute toss-up, if you ask me. I think it's a toss-up and go either way. I mean, let's favor both favorites lost in the games 2 weeks ago, and the team from New England lost last year as a favorite. So, you know, it's definitely a toss-up, and L.A.'s got a great team. And New England has a great team as well, so I think it's a coin flip.
Mac, I'm curious. You're a big promoter. You're a smart businessman. What are your thoughts on the NFL and not being able to say that S word? I mean, you have to say the big game, and Do you feel like fans really care? I mean, is it, I would feel like this is much ado about nothing. Just your thoughts as a businessman and a promoter on that.
I just I would let people use my name and so that you could get the name out more, and the trademark is for the few sponsors that use it. I think it's kind of silly as far as using the you know, let the sponsors do it, overdo it. You know, let the other people say it and just go on with it. But much ado about nothing is a good way to put it.
Well, Mac, I know that, you know, everybody sees the commercials and they're always talking about, obviously, the where to go for furniture and the slogan, gallery really saves you money. But the thing that always kind of resonates with me is some people, as Barry was saying, when you know marketing and you know how to be, you know, out there promoting, it's one thing. But you kind of back it up with just your dedication to this city. We all know what you did, obviously, with the hurricane, with Habitat for Humanity. And your whole mantra is, if it's to be, it's up to me or we. And I think that really sums it up all well, that you don't necessarily even care about the credit, but you are dedicated to H-Town. And I remember when I first moved to this town and you had the big top tents were your showroom. And now look at where it's come with the three locations. But when did you always have made that conscious effort to, hey, we can promote, but it's also about like giving back and making sure you're a fiber of the community.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's about making the community better, and the community's better. It's better for all of us. It's a better place to live, work, play, raise a family, a better place to do business, better place to go to church, go to school. So whatever we can all do individually and collectively to make Houston and Texas a better place, then so be it. And I think we need to have more unity and community and less divisive politics.
Mattress Mac from Gallery Furniture joins us on The Usual Suspects. Mac, are any plans to go to the game?
No, I'm not going. I'm too old for that, but I will watch here at Gallery Furniture. We've got lots of big screen TVs to watch the big game on, and it shall be a huge game. But most of all, a lot of our customers will watch with interest, because if the team from LA wins, they get 50% of their money back, 100% back in in-store credit. Just come out today or tomorrow and buy furniture. We had customers buying furniture last night up to 11 p.m. Expect the same thing the next 2 days.
Well, you know, I'm coming out there this weekend because I told you we're looking for some stuff. But at the same time, I was curious because I know you're a sports fan, and I know that you've had the racehorses, and I don't think a lot of people know just how passionate you were for a time about possibly purchasing a team. And when the Rockets were up for sale, you were one of the groups coming together to try and make sure the Rockets not only were staying in Houston, but you might be a part of that. As you have everything going that you have going on now, do you still think about owning a sports team or a part of a sports team someday?
No, I'm happy being in the racehorse business. I got one of my horses named Run Happy. He's the stallion at Claiborne Farm, so, and we've got a bunch of other horses coming up. So he's fulfilling my sports fantasies, if you will. I'm happy with that, and I'm just trying to keep working out here and selling furniture and trying to stay young.
Well, I think you're doing that because we do see you on the commercials, so we know that you are definitely taking care of yourself. And I know you're a runner and you do all those things too. But how do you find time for all that, because of the fact that you're constantly – every time I go in the store, you're at the front desk. And I know that, you know, you're speaking engagements and you're always going somewhere doing something, but it seems like you can be in three places at once. But how do you make time? We're doing a weight loss challenge right now for the show and trying to keep listeners to kind of take care of themselves better and make sure they realize it's important – as important that you take care of yourself as it is the things that you do otherwise in business and life. But how do you make time for everything?
You know, I've always been a high energy person, and I like to run on the treadmill at night when I get through with work, or in the morning and read on my iPad. So that's very therapeutic for me. So it's I agree, diet and exercise and good night's sleep are very important. I got a great mattress and I eat well.
Well, there you have it. And the other thing is, I didn't want to just leave this to the Super Bowl, but you're also got this other promotion going, kind of a piggyback on what you've already been doing with the Astros. But now there's two ways to win. And if you're a sports fan in Houston and you're looking for furniture, the fact that they can parlay that into one or the other, the Astros or the Rockets now, if they win, you win. Maybe give the folks a little bit of a background if they're not familiar on that, because that's another great way they can cash in.
Yeah, you know, if you buy $3,000 or better and the Astros win the championship or the Rockets win the championship, and you get your furniture free. So it's a great effort on to promote those two wonderful teams. Both of them doing very well. The Astros got a good player yesterday, and the Rockets are on fire with winning a lot of games here lately. So it's a great opportunity either way. We're always out there promoting the local sports teams and trying to make furniture buying more fun and more enjoyable, Joel, for all of our great customers.
No doubt about it. And he's a great follow on Twitter, too. If you want to follow him, it's at Mattress Mac, and you can follow him on Twitter. And it's believe me, it's not just about furniture. There's inspirational quotes and motivational videos and also, you know, like your favorite sports teams. Alex Bregman does a lot of things with Mac. How'd you get involved with Bregs and how did he seems like he's very dedicated like you are to doing things to make a difference.
Yeah, we did a sponsorship last year, and he was just terrific the whole time. Such a great guy, and he handed out turkeys here with us during the week before Thanksgiving. He actually walked the people to the car with a turkey in his hand. So a great baseball player, but a great guy dedicated to the community. He does a lot of stuff to make Houston better. I think that's something that's very admirable about a lot of the sports personalities we have in this town right now, as they are. Not only do they make a lot of money, but they give a whole lot back. And I think that's something we all need to learn from.
Well, there's no doubt about it. You've always given back from the practice facility back in the days to the Rockets to everything that you're doing now. We all know that and appreciate you. And I do want to tell you, my partner here is a comedian as well, and he has a bit that we're going to send you off air. But it has gotten more responses than you can ever believe in terms of what you did during the hurricane and the support that you gave, as opposed to others that will remain nameless. But we're going to send it to you because you're going to get a kick out of it. And I know you're the kind of humble guy. You don't want to talk about those kind of things on the air. But the stuff that you did for the hurricane that went unnoticed is something that he centered his joke around and to give you some credit. And we're going to send it to you off the air because I think you're going to get a big kick out of it. Right, Barry?
I hope so.
Thanks, Barry. And what we'd like to do, Joe, help him. Have it delivered today or tomorrow, and if the team's a big game on Sunday, the exciting big game, the biggest television event of the year, could happen right back. I'm going to give some credit. Lots of customers are buying right now, and we'll invite all the listeners to come out today or tomorrow, take advantage, and get some great furniture in your home, and enjoy the big game even more.
There you go, Mac. Thanks for spending some time. I know you're busy, so I appreciate you, man.
Thanks, guys. Great talking to you. Y'all have a good day.
You too, bud.
There you go. Mattress Mac. Yeah, we got to send him that clip.
I do. I travel the country spreading the gospel of Mattress Mac. I literally do. It's and you know what? No matter where I go, like people, like in Minnesota, people don't know who Mattress Mac is. But I can, it's like, you just say, like, this dude is, he's our crazy furniture guy. Like, he used to yell at us dressed up in a mattress that it'll save us money. And now he's got, you know, some of the nicest furniture stores in the country. And they get it right away. And then the joke works. That you don't have to.
And the thing is, it's one thing to be like a marketing icon, but to be an icon of the city. Like, literally, if Mac ran for mayor, have any doubt. You know, we talk about who ran for president and the fact that that you know, from the boardroom to the White House. But if Mac ran for mayor, I don't think there's any doubt that he'd win.
I agree.
That'd be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Plenty more to talk about, including that big game coming up on Sunday, the Super Bowl and other things. It's all coming up next. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. Hour number 2, 3-hour show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us with you if you're on the go. Download that ESPN 975 app by going to ESPN975.com. You can take us anywhere, everywhere, and all the time. And if you really, really like us or you're really bored, you can also see the Twin Peaks live stream at any time by going to ESPN975.com. I noticed that the producer cam is not prevalent.
Turn it on, Nick.
That is correct, because Joel and Barry are the two stars of the suspects.
I think a lot of people want that view from behind.
I don't think they do. I haven't had
exactly
one request.
What's going on? Well, this is number one right now.
Not on the text line, not on Twitter.
If you want to see Nick's face, text the show and just say, yeah, show
us
Nick's
when you
Nick's
say it like
face.
That, yeah, well,
see, and now it has to say, I want to see Nick's stupid face.
The fact that you included stupid in there.
If we get five of them, your stupid face has to go on the Twin Peaks cam.
For a millisecond, sure.
Nope. For the segment. It'll be the next sec. Wow. Yeah. Nobody wants to break their stream and their camera that bad.
Okay, well, Nick, you can move the camera during the course of the hour from behind you to see what you're looking at when you look at our beautiful faces to the side view. Oh,
there's one. Four to go.
Really? It took that long.
There's two.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Give them any kind of ammunition, and the suspects are all over it.
Three.
I'm wearing Barry's hoodie. Four. That's free advertisement.
Nothing wrong with that.
Did
you mention there's a podcast?
Does it have it written on top?
You go for a triple threat somehow.
Like, are you saying I'm like Fred with Sports Map, whereas this is all I do is plug my podcast?
Yeah.
That's not true. I haven't yet once mentioned that they can go to the15podcast.com to download it or follow us at the15podcast or find it on any of the podcast providers just by searching the 15. I didn't say that not
Barry,
once.
You learned a lot from Mattress Mac in that last segment, right? Didn't you?
You can get the podcast today. By the way, yeah, you're definitely turning it on Stupid Face Cam because there's like 10 now. So we went from 1 to 4 to 10 just like that. And I mean, they are rolling it.
Really?
Yeah, so Stupid Face Cam is a thing that has to happen. Okay, coming in, or going into the previous break or segment, I had mentioned that I felt like there was a coach out there that maybe is kind of flying under the radar. And a lot of people, I said, I don't feel like this guy's going to get enough credit, right? And a lot of people said, God, I hope it's the get back coach for the Rams. I hope it's the one that always pulls Sean McVay out of the way of the NFL referees. Because you know it's a penalty if the referee runs into you. It's a sideline penalty. You might get a warning, but eventually you get a penalty. You know, Sean McVay, and that's not it. That's not the guy that I had in mind.
I didn't think you would go there. But
no, but I feel like, and you probably have an idea of where I'm going. So we talk about Belichick and we talk about Sean McVay and the young, bright mind that is Sean McVay. But keep in mind now, this is the Rams defense that has a lot to hang their hat on, you know? And they've got quality players, but they've been one of those defenses kind of bend but don't break at times. Wade Phillips is a coach that has experience. He's been around. I mean, he's one of those guys that you look at and you think, okay, this is almost equal on both sides of the ball. Let me explain what I mean. You've got Bill Belichick.
Okay.
You've got a guy that's been around the block. He knows what he's doing. Defensively, he's a great mind, right? Then you've got Josh McDaniels, who is a young, innovative, offensive-minded coach. And you look at those two, and you put them up against Wade Phillips, the old grizzled defensive mind that is his, and the young, innovative Sean McVay. And I know Belichick is one of the greatest head coaches, but from just a coaching and an X's and O's perspective, it's not crazy to me to say that it's a wash between those. When you factor in Wade Phillips and his experience of what he's been able to do and look at Wade Phillips' as a head coach.
Oh, no, and he's an unbelievable defensive coordinator, right?
Yeah.
But here's my biggest thing. When you look at his record against Belichick teams,
okay,
it ain't great.
No, but did he have Aaron Donald?
True, but here's the other thing.
Did he have a Jared Goff?
But here's my from a defensive standpoint, though, right?
Uh-huh.
You were the one that brought the stats up that said something that completely amazed me at the end of the regular season, that a team that had Aaron Donald, that had Ndamukong Suh, that added the guys that they needed to add, that got a guy like Aqib Talib back, was a bottom third defense in this league. That shocked
me run.
With all their talent.
Yeah, against the run,
right. But even against 14 the pass, in the Marcus NFL, Peters was getting torched until Talib came back.
True, but they're 14th in the NFL in passing without Talib. So, I mean,
but even still, with all
pack,
those names and numbers, I would assume that they're higher than that. I would have said they were a top five defense just by all the cast of characters that they put out there in those 11 guys.
Yeah. But do you, so it's weird because for me, the Rams, like as, and I know I'm the statistical guy, but at the end of the day, you look at it and you think they check all the boxes, right? Like, they've got the pass rusher, they've got the secondary, they've got all of the individual things, but for some reason as a unit, it's kind of a, it almost reminds me of a Romeo Crennel kind of bend but don't break style of defense, where the numbers may not look great on the field, but the results you really can't argue with. But yeah. But I'm talking about from an experience, an on the field X's and O's experience type of guy. Wade Phillips is going to add a lot to this Rams team, and no one is talking about him. No one is now. Am I suggesting that Wade Phillips is going to scheme and shut down Tom Brady? I don't think so, because there's only so much you can do as a coach with X's and O's, and Tom Brady's job is to make reads, and he's, you know, great at that. But I just a lot of us, we talk about all the only names that are being mentioned going into this Super Bowl really are Brady and Belichick. That's all we talk about. We don't talk about Wade Phillips. We talk a little bit about Sean McVay. We don't even mention Jared Goff, and rightfully so in Goff's case, because he's so young and he hasn't done anything. But I think
the game within the game that's going to be interesting is that whole Josh McDaniels, Wade Phillips.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And Wade Phillips hasn't been, he's been slept on as a, you know, as again, you said it best, as a defensive coordinator. He's tops. He's one of the best, I think. As a head coach, not so much. He's proven himself. But every time he goes somewhere as a DC, that team gets better exponentially when he gets there.
For sure. And that's going to be interesting. Because, again, you can say on one side you got that. On the other side you've got he hasn't really fared well against Belichick. But then again, you can say who really has, right? Especially when you give Belichick an extra week to prepare or if it's a really big game. Dude has proven to be one of the best schemers in the entire business, so that shouldn't be a slap in the face or a red check mark. The fact that there haven't been many that have had success against Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that should be interesting to see. And, again, our picks are going to be in the final hour of the show that we'll get into it a little bit more. But, again, thankfully we're getting down to just the football, because just the football, regardless of whether your team's in there or not, at least from a fan's perspective, you got good matchups, you got good players, and hopefully you get a good game.
I think it's going to be a great game. I'll be honest with you. Are you worried? You said hopefully.
I don't. I just, you know, sometimes the greatest anticipation is the greatest letdown. If this is a low scoring 13-10 game, a lot of people are going to be let.
But here's, but again, what I go back to is, I mean, it's Brady, it's Goff, but it's these offenses. It's those, it's McDaniels and McVay.
Are going to continue to kick that around and a bunch more. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.